Have a blessed day and welcome to the Amen Corner program on Podomatic. This is your host, Brother Dave Moran, speaking. You are welcome to download and share this program. God says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." So here is today's word. Praise the Lord. We're going to be reading in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and verse 1 will start out. "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." That would be Solomon, of course. And verse 2, it says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And we go on to Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall be after." And now we must remember that these are the words of the preacher. We read in 1:1, said the words of the preacher, son of David, and not the words of God. But what does God say? Well, in Genesis 11:1, we read, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." We're going to be talking about the Tower of Babel. In 11:2, it says that it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, the survivors of the flood, that is, and their children and children, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar, in the King James here. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." In other words, man's imagination, what if he can imagine it, he can do it. You know, that's what God is saying here. And it says, "Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. They did not build that Tower of Babel. They didn't complete it anyway. When I was a young child growing up, I grew up in the big city, Detroit, and I was right by the railroad track. It was New York Central Railroad going by, and at the time, back in the 50s, they still had steam engines. And when I was a child, like I say, at that time, I thought that man really had it together, that the world was all running right, and you'd see the big steam engines coming down and blowing smoke and chugging along, and they really did make a choo-choo noise. I remember the engines, when they would come, it would be choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And they would just go along, and of course, Mom would have to run out and take the laundry off the line, if she had any, because it just blew smoke, and it was just something to see. And I remember watching the airplanes overhead. We saw the propeller planes when I was real young. Look, airplane, you know, and I'd run outside and look at the airplane. And then later on, they came out with jet planes. And so I would kind of ignore the propeller planes that went over. I wouldn't run out. But if I heard a jet, and then I would run outside, "Oh, there's a jet." You know, and the jet was new. But nowadays, when you hear a propeller plane, you run outside and look, because they're getting scarce. You know, they still have a lot of them. But as far as commercial flights, they're getting to be more rare. So my favorite was this dual fuselage airplane from World War II. I believe they call it the flying boxcar. It had two fuselages side by side with the wings, and I thought that was so cool. Go overhead, looked like a double fuselage on that plane. I understand they had a crew on each side. It was some plane, and I thought the world was all together. I thought everything was fine and dandy, and everything was organized, you know, and set up right back in the 50s. You know, of course, being a child, I didn't know all the troubles and all the things that went on about Jim Crow and crime back then. There was crime back then. There were things going on. There was unrest, I guess, starting. And certainly in the 60s, it all came to a head. In the 60s, but all these things went on, you know, and we consider the Bible, what Solomon was saying, that there's nothing new under the sun, but really, where is our advancement that we've made, you know, from a child, like I say, I thought everything was hunky-dory, as we say, and everything was cool, you know, but as I grew up, and now I'm 68 years old, I just turned that this year. And I realize that man does not have it together. You look at Adam and Eve. Now, their first baby that they had was Cain. And he grew up and became a murderer. You know, he murdered his brother, Abel. And have we solved the murder problems today? Have we advanced anywhere? I don't think so. You know, all the head chopping going on in Iran and Iraq and with ISIS and all that carrying on, there's no progress at all. You know, we're still murdering our brother, killing our brothers. Where is the gain? Where is the good things? You know, sure, we got the steam engines, we got jets, we've been to the moon. That was another big thing when I was younger. But really, where have we gone? You know, there's some of the old songs they used to sing. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting and all that carrying on? You know, why is there still war? Why do we still have wars? Don't believe in war. Well, it looks like it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It looks like we're heading for one in this world. Looks like we're heading for another what we call world war. I wonder what's going on. Where is man's progress? Where have we gained? You know, we have scientific discoveries and things like that. And of course, all the theories, I'm not going to get into that mess. Evolution is false. Really, where is man's improvement? Where are the great advances? Here we've been around as far as the Bible goes. We could say 10,000, 6,000 years. I think 6,000 is the general concept as far as biblical writings go. That's the age of the earth. We've been around 6,000 years, and of course the world would say it's been millions. But where is the progress? You know, we invented the wheel, big deal. You know, we still use it, but where have we grown? Where have we gotten closer to something that we can say it's new? You know, what's new under the sun, really? Like Solomon said, it seems to be the same old, does it not? All the violence going on, and the divorces, and road rage on the hot streets, and unrest in the cities. I remember back in the 60s, like I said, how there was unrest, and there was a riot in Detroit in 67 riot, the long hot summer, they called it. And it was all over the country, and now it's still going on in Ferguson. There's still this unrest, and there's people that make a living out of unrest. They earn their living because of unrest, and they try to keep it going. They try to fan the flames all they can because they make their living peddling protests and all these things like that, outrages and going around and complaining about this and complaining about that, and they get money for doing that. So it's a big racket, basically. But where is man's progress? Where have we gained anything? You know, when I think about it, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I got saved, the day I gave my heart to the Lord. You know, any good thing that you find on this earth, you can trace it back to God. I enjoy my food. I enjoy nature. You walk outside and look at the things that God has made, and they're wonderful. There's trouble here and there. There's problems in the earth. There's storms. There's fires. There's things that happen, and not even caused by man. You know, man is bad enough, but there's other things that go on, and it's all a result of sin. It's all from sin. You know, the problems, one black gentleman said, the problem is not skin. He's talking about the race relations. It's sin. You know, and really that's what you boil it down to. A man is wicked in his basic principles. When he's born into sin. He's just sold into that. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You don't have to teach him to get mad. You don't have to teach him to lie. Did you take that cookie? No. They'll say right away, the first thing they'll think of is say no. And they'll deny it with the chocolate all over their face. They'll still try to deny it. You know, that's the way man is. He grows up that way. You know, the whole problem with man is that he walks in darkness. He's basically walks in darkness. That's why he can't see. That's why he's never progressed, you know, really, as far as sin goes and the evil things that he does. Man is still as evil, as wicked as he's been. It seems like even since the great flood, you know, where's the improvement at? We don't see it in this earth. And the greatest thing that you can do, the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, where you can say, this is new, this is really, really new, is you can give your heart to the Lord. You know, you can come to Him and confess your sin, confess that darkness that you're in. God, when He created the earth, the first thing He did was said, let there be light. You know, and where is the light today? Where is the candle that we go by today? You know, we see all these people, and we used to have the 1,000 points of light and all this carrying on, but where is the light today if it's not in God? You know, people try one thing and another, and they try this and that, and it's all failed. It's all come to naught, but the Church of God goes on, you know, and the only ones that I know on this earth that are really happy have been Christians. My sweetheart, my wife, she was happy because she was saved, and I've been happy all my life since I got saved, but I remember the misery I was in, walking in that darkness I'm talking about. And I was in a lot of hateful things when I was young. You know, up until I was 30 years old, when I gave my heart to the Lord, when I got real with God, He got real with me. You know, God came down in our reading of the Bible to see that Tower of Babel, to see what man was doing, and He saw it wasn't good. He saw that nothing would be restrained from what man was doing, and it seems like nothing in the evil category is being restrained today. Certainly every kind of evil is being allowed and promoted. And if you don't promote somebody's evil, you're said to be evil yourself. That's they call it hate speech. You know, if you don't like their brand of wickedness, then it's hate speech. Or they call you a kafir if you don't like what the Muslims are doing. And yes, they're doing it. The problem is light, the lack of light. Let's go to the scriptures. We can go to the book of St. John, chapter 3, and we'll begin in 14. And Jesus is talking. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's in the Exodus, I believe, in the book of Exodus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If you remember the story in Exodus, Moses had to lift up this brazen serpent in the wilderness because the children of Israel had been bitten by snakes, and everyone who would look at that serpent, brazen serpent, would live. The ones that refused to look would die. And in 3:15, Jesus goes on, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And if you will come to the light, if you will come to God, and Jesus is that light, He is the light of the world, believe it or not, but you should believe it, because if you believe it, you can come to Him, and He can forgive all your sins. I remember when I gave my heart to Him, when I confessed my sin, and I heard the voice of God in my heart saying, do you want me to come into your heart? And I said, yes, yes, yes. And the Lord came into my heart. I was laying on my stomach. I felt the power of God go through my back. Yes, you will feel something. Now, everyone doesn't have the same experience like I had, you won't have it exactly the same, because God deals with us as individuals. What we need, that's what he gives us. That's what he'll allow us to have. And he says about children, he says, meaning me and you, and these of the world, when your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a stone? The answer is no. And he said, if you be an evil like you are, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will God give you a good thing if you ask him? You just ask God with an honest heart. He'll not give you something evil. He'll give you that light. He'll come into your life. He'll cleanse your heart from all your sin for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, as he said, lifted up as that serpent was in the wilderness. And those that look unto him, those that believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the greatest thing that there is on this earth. It's the newest thing. If you've never done that before, if you've never come to God like that, and you do it, you are in for a fantastic treat. You will say that is the best day you've ever lived, the best day you've ever known, even better than your marriage. If you're married and had a great marriage, it's so wonderful. It makes everything else great. It made my marriage great because I had been saved before. It just turned my life around, and I could head toward God. I headed toward the light. I still made mistakes, but always go back to God and confess and tell him you've done wrong. He'll forgive you and head you back toward that light, and you can have real progress, and you can have new things in your life. You'll conquer this problem. You'll conquer that problem. It'll be a new challenge. You know, every day there's a song I like to sing. If you say you're looking for a challenging life, something to really live for, let me tell you about a trip that starts you at an altar, leads you to the heaven's doors. If you got what it takes to get in this race, I guarantee you someday you'll say, I'm glad, thank God I started. It's been a good trip on the way. It's been a good trip, and I've enjoyed every step of the way. The mountains and the valleys, the rough and the smooth, the night as well as the day. Hasn't always been an easy road. There's a lot of things that try to make you stray. But God gave me heaven to get to heaven in, and it's been a good trip on the way. Amen. It'll be a good trip. You'll enjoy the light of God. You'll enjoy his word. Maybe you tried to read the Bible and couldn't understand it, but if you'll turn your life over to him, he'll show you in the Bible. He'll bring out things. It's like David was talking about in the Bible, that the words of God are like jewel, that every which way you turn it, it prospers. That's pretty much what he said. Jesus said it's like that treasure hidden in the field. You know, once you find it, you'll never let it go if you've got any sense at all. Praise the Lord. This music ends our podcast for today. This is Brother Dave Moran saying, I hope it was a blessing for you. Please bookmark this podcast and come back anytime. God bless you is our prayer.